Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio on AM 750 WNDZ. Golfers on Golf is presented by the five-star French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana.
Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in and sharing part of your Saturday morning with us. We're going to spend the next hour bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. And guys, here in studio this morning, we have longtime Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears. I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson. And hey, Rory, you know what? It's nice to shift up your foursome a little bit and you know, bring some new talent into the group every once in a while. And it changes your game. Maybe your wager's a little different for the week. But you rounded us up a third. In fact, a guest host who longtime listeners to this show are certainly familiar with him, as golfers are throughout the Chicago area. But why don't I let you introduce him?
All right. Well, we're pleased to have in studio with us for a change. We've had him on the phone a couple of times talking some golf, telling us what's going on at his property, the Blackberry Oaks Golf Club in Bristol, Illinois. But we're pleased to have a guest host this week, another member of the Illinois PGA, Chad Johansson. Chad, how are you? Welcome to Golfers on Golf in the House.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Rory.
You're in our clubhouse today. And speaking of clubhouses, you had some work done on your clubhouse. It's a little different for this golf season, isn't it?
Yeah, we've kind of done a lot to the restaurant, you know, the pro shop. We've always changing different stuff in the pro shop, and, you know, it's looking good. You need some weather now, Rory.
Yeah, well, I think every golf course does. And, you know, Ed Stevenson could use some weather over at his golf courses. And, Ed, happened to notice this week, it looks like some more recognition for the preserve at Oak Meadows, and you were well taken care of by Golf Week magazine that proclaimed the preserve as one of the best public courses in the state of Illinois.
Well, thanks, Rory. Yeah, it was nice to open up Golf Week and see that they wanted to let us join the list as far as one of the best courses you can play. It's really some great names on that list here in Illinois, and to be able to add one in there was really, really good. I think we debuted at number six in Illinois after being open just a couple months last year. So hoping to stay there for a while. And we didn't set out for recognition on the project, but I got to be honest, it's nice when it comes in and you get a little validation of the work that really Greg Martin and the rest of our team did there.
Well, Ed, I know you hinted at that some award and some recognition was coming down the pipe for the preserve last week, and was nice to see it this week in Golf Week magazine.
Great. Yeah, a few other things maybe on the horizon. I had the chance to actually be with Greg Martin last night. We were
watching the Cubs.
We were not watching the Cubs. We were actually, you know, it was funny. I got used to seeing Greg in our construction trailer with some jeans, and we had boots on, a little bit of mud, but we dusted off a little bit. We had the coats and ties on. We had our project engineer, Brock Lovelace, with us. And the American Society of Landscape Architects was having an awards presentation last night. And some great projects from actually throughout the region were getting recognized. And once again, the Preserve at Oak Meadows was lucky enough to be a part of that as well. So a merit award to Greg Martin and the project. So that was hey, that was fun, too. And, yeah, nice to be able to maybe have a beverage you know, share a photo opportunity.
Ed, one of the more frequent questions I'm getting from people is, hey, what are they doing? When are they going to build a clubhouse? What are they doing with that? Is there any updates you can share with the audience in regards to clubhouse planning going forward?
Yeah, thanks, Roy. You know, this winter was a busy winter in the design process. We have Daniel Wolfeil on board as our architect, and if folks out there don't know Dan Wolfeil, they'll recognize some of his work at Mistwood, or right now, even if you look at Chicago Highlands, who's building their clubhouse, that's also the work of Dan Wolfeil. We've got a design that's been approved. We've been working on the detailed version of that design, getting some final cost estimates, and hopefully breaking ground about a year from now once permitting's done. So this summer we'll be releasing some more images and even some model videos that are pretty cool that are going to give us a sneak peek of what the clubhouse will look like. But it's on the horizon.
Okay, real good. Well, Ed, there is some other news in the area. Matter of fact, we want to break some news here this morning. The news came out, and I'm going to talk to both of you about it as Illinois PGA section members as the show goes on. But the Illinois PGA announcing this week that the Illinois Open will be August 6, 7, and 8, and the primary course again this year will be the Glen Club. But after all of the success last year at Briarwood up in Deerfield, an older classic-style golf course for the second golf course, they've kind of stayed along that lines this year by announcing Ravinia Green over in North Suburban Riverwoods as the second course. And I've never played it. It's not on my list of 494 courses that I've ever played. So we'll get some feedback from you and you guys' thoughts on how the Illinois Open is shaping up this week. Also, breaking news here, golfers on Golf Radio pleased to report and confirm, even though it was always expected, we can now confirm Patrick Flavin, the defending champion, has confirmed to us that he will be back to defend his title and will be in the field. That did not come out in the release from the Illinois PGA. They apparently did not have a commitment from him at the time. It just simply says that he is the defending champion, but we can report that he's going to come back and try to defend his title at the Glen Club and in Ravinia Green in August. And there is a possibility he could even be a professional by then. Last year, you might remember, he won the state amateur and the Illinois Open in the same year. Rarely done, and hadn't been done for a very long time.
And
so,
couldn't take that check home.
No, he could not. So anyway, he will be he'll be in the field, and he will. Who knows? Maybe he'll be a professional. Maybe he and Nick Hardy, who is going to turn professional at the Web.com Rust-Oleum Championship at Ivanhoe Country Club in June. And Doug Gim, who was a guest on our show last week, he'll be a professional by them. So all of these guys that have played as amateurs the last few years, there could be a new big three of Illinois college golfers, and they could all be competing for that check.
Yeah, well, you know, it's nice to see those guys that are up and coming. Obviously, just an incredible run for Doug Gim. Got a lot of great feedback, Rory, on our interview with Doug Gim last week. If you missed it, if you were teeing it up or maybe staying inside to try to be warm and just not near your radio during the broadcast last week, it is posted at golfersongolf.com. Really, especially, I enjoyed hearing Doug talk about his days playing with the Illinois Junior Golf Association. I think he teed it up in 54 events and only won 29 of them. I don't know. I don't know what happened in the
the other 25.
Must have taken second in the others. Yeah. But great to hear him talk about really what that organization meant to him and his career, and to hear his plans to be at Shinnecock and then turn pro thereafter.
Well, Eddie, I can also tell you this, that some other news this week, and a lot of people have been asking about this. The USGA, the United States Golf Association, announcing the tickets are now on sale for the brand new U.S. Open, the U.S. Senior Women's Open at the historic Chicago Golf Club. The tickets are now on sale. You can get them at usseniorwomensopen.com. You want to bring the kids 18 and under, get in free. If they come along with a ticket-holding adult, you have questions, you can call 1-800-898-0661 or online ticketquestions at usga.org. Also, more good news, the USGA has promised us, they're actually going to get the big guy, Mike Davis, to check in with us at some point before the U.S. Senior Women's Open tees off in July. So, if you've got some golf questions for the USGA, feel free to send them to us, and through the website at golfersongolf.com or whatever. But at some point before mid-July, Mike Davis is going to jump in here with us. And with that, it is 10:09. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Ed Stevenson, special guest host Chad Johansson. I'm Rory Spears. We're back with more right after this.
One that won't rip, one that won't kick me off like when I stub a chip. I want a new glove. But I don't want...
The newly renovated Mount Prospect Golf Club is now a Golf Week magazine top 15 best courses you can play in Illinois. Mount Prospect originally opened in the 1920s and has been restyled to look and play like the great courses of that era. If you want to play golf holes that look like they were created by the great historic designers like C.B. McDonald, Seth Raynor, or Donald Ross, Mount Prospect is for you. Mount Prospect now has an expanded practice area, a full-size double-sided driving range, and multiple putting greens. The Pro Shop has been redone and has been restocked with all the merchandise golfers need. The new golf carts are GPS touchscreen, and Mount Prospect is now the home of the half-pound Mount Prospect burger. For more information, visit us online at mppd.org or call 847-259-4200 and book your tee time at the Mount Prospect Golf Club today. All right, welcome back to Golfers on Golf Radio, AM 750, WNDZ. I'm Rory Spears, and a reminder, this segment is sponsored by the French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana, home of the Pete Dye Golf Course and the Donald Ross Golf Course, celebrating its 101st season. The French Lick Resort, great golf, the spa, casino, and more. Make your reservations and enjoy their spring specials at FrenchLick.com. Well, you know, guys, there's a lot of great golf around Chicago, and, you know, some of the big professional tournaments get a lot of the limelight. The KPMG up at Kemper Lakes, the U.S. Senior Women's Open, Chicago Golf. The BMW is out of town this year, but we got Senior Players Championship at Exmoor. The Women's Western Amateur is coming to town. The Western Amateur is staying in town for one more year before it hits the road and goes back to its old haunt up in Michigan at Point of Woods. But we've got another great amateur event on the calendar again this year, and it's taking place out in the western suburbs at the beautiful Blackberry Oaks Golf Club. And the man who's really worked hard to bring this thing together and give golfers, amateur golfers, a great event to play in is our guest host, Chad Johansson. And Chad, you've been running an event now. I believe we're into, what, year number 8 of the Blackberry Amateur. And tell us about it a little bit. This is an event that has been well-received, but you'd like to get a few more golfers in there and, shall we say, hashtag fill the field this year.
Absolutely. I came up with this idea 8 years ago. It's just I wanted to have a really high-end tournament at my golf course with the best players that are out there. I give away $750 as the first place prize and merchandise credit, and I just created a new website that I launched last month. It's called blackberryamateur.com. All the information's on there. It's on June 23rd and 24th. And, you know, a couple of cool things I'm going to add this year is, you know, live scoring both days, and I'm really excited about the sponsorship with Wilson Golf.
Well, you worked hard. You went down to the PGA Merchandise Show, and you caught up with Tim Clark, the GM of Wilson Golf, who's our next guest coming up here in about 10-15 minutes. But you brought him on board. I believe you've got Michelob Ultra on board again this year, and you got a couple of nice sponsors that really help make this weekend of golf at Blackberry Oaks a great event.
Yeah, I mean, Michelob Ultra has been with me since day one. I mean, they support a lot of funds because my prize funds are huge. I pay out, like, the top 40, and, you know, it's just a great atmosphere, a great event, and I get a lot of my members coming out watching them because these guys are good.
Yeah. Well, so who is the defending champ, and who took home the trophy last year with an under-par score?
The champ last year was Trey Tusey from yeah, I don't remember the town he's from, but he's plays at Illinois State University. He came out. He was the only one that broke 70 the second day. The weekend was tough that last year. It was like 30, 40-mile-per-hour winds, and our golf course is like a Lynx golf course, so the wind can play a havoc.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the format? Has it evolved a little bit over the over the years, or in kind of dialed in at this point?
Yeah, it's dialed in now. It's a great question. Like 3 years ago, I tried to do like the four ball tournament with you have two players play your best, you know, take the best ball, and you know it went really good, and you know, but you know, I really like the stroke play event, 36 holes, you know,
give it your all. It's not, there's no handicap involved. It's a gross event, stroke play, and I think I'm getting a lot of feedback from the players, and they love it.
Well, Chad, I believe you said that maximum field size, you go with 120 players. In the last couple years, you've been just shy of 100, and you've you got about 20 more spots that you want to fill and try to get that field up to maximum size. If somebody wants to play in that event, how do they sign up for it? And is there a cutoff point in advance of the June 23rd, 24th tournament?
I'm going to max it out 120 players. Just go right to the website, blackberryamateur.com. You'll see it right there. You can see entry form right there, and you can sign up right online. It is live now. I already got, close to 10 players, but, you know, the event is in June. Starts June 23rd, so easy to register.
You know, the way the weather's been, the fact that anybody's really thinking about golf, although I think minds are starting to turn. I think certainly the guys that are playing and the ones that want to compete are have been out there at it regardless of the temperature.
You had a one club event, didn't you, out at your place, Ed?
It was more like a 1 degree event. It was best of intentions, but. Yeah, 38 and sleet. That was a lot of rain credits. But hey, we'll give it a go again. You never know what Mother Nature is going to bring in, and we got to get to 95 and humid eventually, Rory. So there's a transition to get there.
But there you go.
No doubt, a great event season coming up, I think quality amateur events certainly are an important part of really fostering a feel of belonging at your course and. Helping generate awareness. So great to see, Chad, your field growing. No doubt, I think good players want to play with good players. They're seeking those quality events. The fact that it's not a handicap event is, throw your hat in the ring and go play. Nobody's worried about shots, where shots are falling. No one's worried about whose handicap might be a little little heavier, a little light.
Well, Chad, you guys, and I know I think you told me the project is not complete, but anybody who's played in recent years might see a little bit of a different look at Blackberry Oaks. You've been working on the bunkers out there.
Yeah, we've put a lot of time into the bunkers. Bunkers have always been our downfall, if I were to say something, at Blackberry Oaks. And we're working on edging them, putting a lot more sand in them, just fixing them up. I mean, I'm blessed to work at Blackberry with private owners that all they want to do is, make the course better. So it's just great to work there.
Well, one of the things that has made the golf course better in recent years is you've done some work on your practice facility, and that's allowed you to sort of create your own golf academy where I understand all summer long those junior golfers take over sometimes because the kids have been known to rule at Blackberry Oaks.
You know a kid's rule. Yeah, I mean, my owner, we built a private short game area just for all my juniors and all my members. It's like a wedge area. You can hit shots from 100 yards and into a green, and then there's a big green for chipping and pitching and putting, and it's all about the short game, Rory.
Yeah, we gotta make some putts, and all of those youngsters are out there making putts because you got them lined up in the putting lab, and they're perfecting that putting stroke on the perfect putting aid, right?
Absolutely. Get the ball started online.
Ed, Chad created one of the best putting aids I've ever seen, the perfect putting aid. There's one in Rory Spears' home. And you know what? It's also been seen in other places. Chad actually went down to the Masters a couple years ago and spotted several Masters contestants with the perfect putting aid out on the practice green at Augusta National.
Well, it's an awesome testimonial. Probably not too many tougher putting tests than being out at Augusta National, and the right aid, the right training, the right approach to get that ball online and rolling is huge. So nice to see that get traction, Chad, and really I'm sure gratifying for you to actually see people get better and have it help them.
Absolutely. I mean, I actually went to the Masters this year. I got there on Thursday, and the first thing I saw right when I went through the gates was Vijay Singh grinding with my training aid. So it's pretty cool to see out there.
That is good. Chad, take us through the whole process, the dates, the information. Give us a little bit about that exciting weekend at Blackberry Oaks, which is going to be June 23 and 24 this year, the Blackberry Am.
It's basically... come on out, get registered right online at blackberryamateur.com, and it's going to be a great event, and I can't wait to fill it this year. I've reached out to probably about 30 colleges. I've talked to a lot of coaches trying to get, you know, the best players in the Midwest to come to the event.
Mm-hmm. Is that open to top high school players, too, that may also want to show off their resume for to a prospective college coach?
Absolutely. I mean, it's right now I have it. You have to have a handicap of 8 and lower. So, but it's a, you know, it's just a great event where there's prize fund. It's legal to do for the kids. It's merchandise credit, and it's just a tournament where, you know, you get under the gun. Tournament golf is different than just playing with your buddies.
Mm-hmm. And now the tournament's on the weekend, and the players usually probably come out the week before, get a practice round in, learn a little bit about Blackberry Oaks if they haven't been there, and then settle into that really nice 19th hole you got is half your clubhouse over there.
Absolutely. And then I just made a new yardage book that I made just for this event, and I put a lot of time into it just for the kids and the players. You know, now they have no excuses.
they'll know where they're going.
You know, Chad, and getting to know you and see the work you've done and talked to you on this show before, obviously, there are a lot of different approaches to teaching, and I think there have been a lot of great teachers in Illinois over the years. And everyone has a little different way they go about it. But you've been able to, in building this academy, I think find a way to create some structure, package things up, have a system, things that the student can get their head around, which I really admire. And you know, even part of that you promote on your website for your academy is about a 4-step process. And I guess helping students understand what's next, what they're going to be working on, how to set priorities has got to be a big part of your success.
Absolutely. It's a great question here. I've really changed a lot of my stuff this winter. It's totally out of the box. It's way different. You know, I've always been an instructor where I give the student what they want. You know, they want to fix the slice. They want to hit it farther, right? But I've turned myself into a coach where I'm going to give them what they need. So I kind of came up with this 4-step process to lower scores program.
Well, one of the other things that Chad has created, and we'll talk to him a little bit more about that later in the program, is the Guide for Golf, and a lot of hours of work there. But Chad sort of got it active last year, and it's continuing to grow and continuing to get improved. And we'll talk a little bit more about the Guide for Golf and also his Perfect Putting Aid, which not only has been well received by golfers in the area, but as you can tell, there's a bunch of guys. I believe at one time there was about 100 guys on the PGA Tour that had one of them. So trust me, the best players in the world know that what Chad has created really can have some impact on your golf game. With that, we are going to take our next break, and we'll be back with the general manager of Wilson Golf, Tim Clark, right after this.
I can't believe I'm into this. I really hate to lose. Asking forgiveness. Got the struggler's blues.
The Arrowhead Golf Club of Wheaton, founded in 1927, has been receiving rave reviews since the architect Greg Martin renovation of all 27 holes has been completed. The course is surrounded by some of the beautiful forest preserve properties of DuPage County and has no homes in play. Water does come into play in 17 of the 27 holes, with 77 bunkers strategically located on the club's 3 9-hole layouts. The bunkers are now filled with the new white tour sand not seen on many public courses. The redone practice area has a lighted driving range, putting green, chipping green, and sand bunkers. The fully stocked pro shop is one of the best in the area, and the golf carts come complete with GPS to give the golfer exact yardage on every hole. Private and group lessons are now available, and Arrowhead has one of the best 19th or 28th holes in the area. For more information, see arrowheadgolfclub.org or call 630-653-5800. This segment is sponsored by the Arlington Lakes Golf Club in Arlington Heights. In a rush, how about 3-hole, 6-hole, 9-hole, or 18-hole loops, all now available. Call 847-577-3030.
All right, it's 10:25. You're tuned in to Golfers on Golf Radio. We're approaching the turn here as we're about to be midway through our hour of golf talk. We're bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. In studio this morning, Rory Spears, I'm Ed Stevenson. We have Chad Johansson, guest host from Blackberry Oaks. And Chad, just as we were heading in the break, we were talking a little bit about golf instruction and certainly your academy out at Blackberry Oaks. And you and I, even during the break, were chatting a little bit about, so much of golf instruction is focused on technique. Certainly, it's a game of angles. It's a game of positions. Golfers, we obsess about some of these details of our swing. But to be a player really requires so much more. You could have a perfect swing if there is such a thing. That doesn't mean you can manage your game. It doesn't mean you can put all the other parts together that produce results. You're continuing to really take a look at that with your approach to teaching and your students.
Absolutely. Like, there's no pictures on a scorecard, right? So the four-step process is a classroom setting. You come four times. It's a program that I'll explain the three keys to unlocking your true golfing potential, like the golfing mindset, playing the real game of golf, and practicing with a purpose. I'll show them how to break the game of golf down into two parts, entering the scoring zone and getting down in the scoring zone. And I've created a scoring method scorecard along with a practice card to really get the data that we need to see what they do on the golf course to get them better.
Yeah, it's funny. You see those fours and threes, and hopefully not too many numbers that looks like sixes and sevens on the scorecard. There certainly is no way to distinguish exactly how you got to that four. So many ways to get it done, but you talk about getting in the scoring zone and planning, setting up that next shot. I think there are a lot of players who ultimately learn how to execute a swing, but they don't necessarily know how to plan. And some of that management has to really be part of the mindset, even for developing golfers.
Absolutely. I've been giving lessons for 17 years now, and I've been trying to fix the club face, right? Fix the slice. But at the end of the day, do you have enough time to get it really fixed? So I haven't really gotten the results that I really wanted. I want to lower people's score, right? I want to make an effect on their life. Like, you shoot a lowest score of your life, you're raving, right? So I had one particular guy, he did my class, and we're just through step two. He shoots like 95 to 110, and the first round out, he shot an 88, and he was almost in tears. Like, that makes me feel awesome. Like, you're making a big difference in the guy's game by just playing differently, not changing his swing.
Right. And again, you could otherwise read all the golf tips in the world, whether they apply to you or not. And at the end of the day, if it's not something that helps you ultimately know how to, there's a big difference, Chad, between playing golf swing and playing golf. And I think that playing golf part is really the piece that's missing. With all your years of experience of teaching, and I've been teaching for over 20 years too. It's interesting to see really some of the impact of kids coming into golf now who are multi-sports athletes and in some ways have had to make a decision of how to focus in on one sport, and to see what they can bring in and translate from some of the other activities or in other sports and bring that into a competitive mindset in golf. Do you see the really sort of that mental and management side a little differently than maybe you did before, and even the what kids and golfers are bringing into your lesson environment being a little different than it used to be?
Oh, way different. Like, I graduated high school in 1997. I remember in 96, I actually shot 36 at River Bend in a nine-hole course in Lyle, and I actually had two newspapers call me about it because I shot even par. Kids shoot 30 now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So the game's come a long ways.
Chad, I got to tell you, they're probably shooting 30 because they're out there playing top-grade golf equipment from Wilson Golf, and I'm sure our next guest would agree with that. We're proud to welcome back to the program the general manager of Wilson Golf, Tim Clark. Tim, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Rory, guys. Thanks for having me. Sorry I give you a missed digit on my cell phone.
That was it. Just a typo. So no big deal.
Rory was going to track you down one way or another, Tim. He's relentless.
I know Rory, if he set the time, there's going to be a phone call, so I think I must have done something wrong.
Well, Tim, I'll tell you one thing that I know you and your company, Wilson Golf, are doing right, and is you've gotten on board and you're supporting the Blackberry Amateur Watcher this year at Bristol. We got Chad Johansson in the studio with us this week. We've been talking about the tournament. But tell us, it sounds like you were real excited to bring Wilson Golf to be a part of this event out at Blackberry Oaks on June 23 and 24.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that has been a big initiative of Wilson Golf, and especially since I have had the opportunity to have this position, is to get back active in the Chicagoland area. And working with Blackberry is one of those projects we're excited to do. One of the first things that happened back in the day was we went out and sought out one of the top Illinois players back in the day was Kevin Streelman, and had him join the staff. And he's done a lot of wonderful things with the Illinois PGA as we have joined him on partnerships there. Then, of course, we have Mike Small down there at University of Illinois, head coach at U of I on our staff. Great, obviously, top coach in the country and an unbelievable player on the seniors tour. So giving back to the community that we're based in is one of the very important things in our mission statement.
Well, Tim, I got to tell you, another member of the golf media was out doing a segment at one of the PGA Tour stores and talking to the manager about golf equipment sales. And while they said there had been a lot of response to, new clubs put out by TaylorMade and Callaway, they said Wilson Golf is really showing a resurgence and really selling as well as he had seen it sell in a long time. And I think that comes from not only the quality of the products that Wilson is putting out, but you and your staff and everybody there to sort of re-embrace the hometown of Chicago here and really get your brand name out there. And it seems to be taking effect with the golfers in the Chicago area.
Yeah, Rory, we've had seven steady years of very solid growth and market share gains in the pro golf equipment as well as in golf balls. And I'll tell you, nothing more exciting than this year, that C300 and the C300 Forged, that 1-2 punch. The first time we've kind of done a family of products around one a little bit more game improvement, one a little bit more player-esque. These things both feature our Power Holes technology, which is proprietary to Wilson, which basically has through holes around the perimeter of the head, which gives extra ball speed, which makes every golfer happy in this day and age. And then clearly the golf balls, we basically invented the low compression category when you think back to we're the first person that ever launched a low compression back in with Staff Titanium back in 1997. We reintroduced, we moved it to a whole new level with 50. And then when we came out with the Duo product, we started around 39 compression. We're now at 29. So it is the world's softest, best playing two-piece golf ball. And that is also doing well. And the craziest one out there, Rory, and maybe Chad, maybe you should jump in on this, is this optics thing. We did the Duo Optics, which is a matte colored Duo softball. And I'll tell you what, I've been in the business maybe for quite a while now, and I've seen the colored things, color golf balls kind of show up and disappear. This thing seems like the real deal, so you guys might be able to help me out.
Absolutely. I mean, I got them in my shop, and obviously the weather's not the greatest, but I've already sold 9 dozen of them. I mean, it's different. I can't wait to get my kids in the ball. I can't wait to have all the color out on my golf course. I think it's awesome, Tim.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and like I said, we've been chasing it. And it's funny because I always try to look at the and clearly Chicago, it's not been the best spring we've had in a few years. But the one thing I do always say, and I look back over my career, Chad, and you'll probably agree with this somewhat. One thing about a little bit of a slow start in the spring is at least when players get out and play, they stay with it. A lot of times we see that real early pop where we get some good weather maybe in middle of March. And then we get some poor weather, and they kind of come out early, and then they kind of disappear for a while and maybe rejoin us in the summer. But I'm excited. I think, it looks like the forecast is clearing up. I think people have a lot of pent-up demand. It was one heck of a long winter up here, and I think we're going to have a great golf season.
10:34, you're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. Rory Spears, Ed Stevenson, special guest host Chad Johansson in studio. We're talking with Tim Clark, the general manager of Wilson Golf, for a couple minutes. And Tim, I know some people that are out playing that Duo golf ball of yours and really liking it. But, Tim, what are you seeing in the terms of golf ball in the market. You can watch the PGA Tour on the weekend, and Titleist puts up their numbers, but it's not that they have 122 players in the field anymore, and the second closest competitor has 10. It's down to about 90 to 20 something, and while they might have a lead, all I'm hearing from people is that the whole market share of who's playing what golf ball is really starting to change. It's not really all about one company anymore, and it seems like there's now three or four people that are really starting to get impact with the golfers on putting out their golf balls.
You know, Rory, I honestly couldn't agree with you more. I think it's a wide open field today, and again, Chad, you're a PGA professional. You probably have better, closer consumer insights. But the biggest change we see in our research at Wilson Golf is the fact that, quite honestly, players, 90% of players shouldn't be playing tour balls. They do bad things for you. They spin too much. Most of the average players don't generate enough club head speed to maximize performance. And what I think we've seen is now that there's so many blogs and so many shows and so many people talking about what is really the best equipment for you. I think the best example of that is if you go on a tour, there's a lot of guys out there still playing blades, right? Mm-hmm. And we have some tour players. Brendan Steele's a blade player. But I'm telling you what, the average player has no business playing a blade, and the good thing is that education has come years ago, and they really don't. They're playing a mid-sized or a cast oversized to have a more enjoyable experience. I think the balls took maybe 10 years or 15 years to catch up, but now that the knowledge is out there, the general golfer is starting to understand that a duo, the duo soft is a great ball form. It's a low spinning ball off the tee, which lets you hit more fairways, and it's got great feel around the greens. And that's actually what the higher handicap player actually needs.
Absolutely, Tim. It's funny you said that. Like, I've played blades my whole life, and I checked my eagle at the door. I got some forgiveness going now. So. But absolutely, I totally agree with you, and I think your equipment's awesome. I'm really proud to be supporting Wilson and playing your stuff.
Are you playing better equipment now? You got Wilson now that other company got out of the game.
I'm playing way better equipment, but I don't have the time to play.
Isn't that the story? Well, I always say this, and this is my one thing, and I think we all get caught up. We're in the golf phase. I think a lot of you probably listeners out there think that, every day of the week we're able to get out and then enjoy this great game that we're all part of. But actually, when you're on the working and the business side, I look at my mission statement, Chad, probably like you, my job is really to figure out a way to bring joy to the consumers out there that want to play. It's not that much about what I'm doing anymore. It's really about figuring out how to give people a great performing golf ball, great performing irons, and great performing metal woods so that they can go out, they can come out and see a PGA professional like you, Chad, a Wilson staff guy, come in, get some lessons, improve their game, and actually have a lifelong fun experience. That's my goal.
Well, Tim, Ed Stevenson here, and that's, actually great to hear you say that. And the people you meet in the golf industry, we love this game, and I think we find different ways to share it and find hopefully a way to turn someone's light bulb on and help them have fun, enjoy it, and whether it's through really getting the right equipment in their hands or the right instruction getting on the radio on a Saturday morning and just talking about the game, lots of different ways to share the game and try to inspire people, and it is amazing. I think you bring a great point. People got a lot more savvy on getting clubs that fit them in recent years, and fortunately, they're finally coming along to realize that there's something to really ball fitting as well, and certainly not one size fits all, and you wouldn't put the same set of tires on every single car on the road. So, for our listeners to think a little bit, you're providing all the options. And meanwhile, I know your R&D guys are out there still trying to find the next thing that's going to help people enjoy this game a little more.
Yeah, absolutely right. And the biggest thing, I think you really summed everything up well. I mean, the bottom line is all these touch points with consumers are really, and they should always be about giving them a better experience. Whether it's, whether it's a great Saturday morning show that people can call in and ask questions to PGA professionals or listen to equipment companies talk about how they go about it. But I think the biggest change today, and this is just, you know, this is Tim Clark's view of the world, and I think it's a good thing for the game and the health of the game long term, is we are actually on the products that we're out selling to players that play the game of golf, not our tour staff, but players that really play and pay for things, which is really important. We are working very hard to be consumer centric. What do they need? We have play tests going on. We're trying to find that next low compression, that next oversized iron, that next set of irons or that next metal wood. It's a different move. Where before, I would say early in my career, and I've been with Wilson now for 21 years, so it's been a long span. Early, we used to try to make everything to make tour players play better. And we still do that. We have a tour staff and tour R&D that work for those guys, and they do a great job. But the rest of our team has now been transitioned into looking at how to make the average player have a better experience. And like I said, making good local investments, being part of things like the BlackBerry event and, the Illinois IJGA, the Junior Golf Association. And, we had years of sponsorship with the Illinois Open since I've been involved. So trying to do things that give the players that play this great game an opportunity to see our brand and not make it be only about, Saturday and Sunday on TV.
Tim, I've got to ask you, speaking of TV, and I know there's certain parts of this you can't tell us, but you're in the middle of filming, I believe, Driver versus Driver 2 for the Golf Channel. What can you share with us and our audience as your program is coming together again, I believe, for a fall launch?
Yeah, so we'll be premiering Tuesday after the Ryder Cup weekend. Rory, we had a chance to catch up down there at the PGA show. We were filming a big segment on the range at demo day. One of the most exciting things for me is, Chicago favorite. We had Brian Urlacher on season one, who was obviously an iconic, going to be a Hall of Famer this year. And then and this season, obviously, we take some rotation in the judges. And this year we got Jeremy Roenick, who obviously hosted a lot of the NBC hockey events on throughout the season. He's a judge. He's a scratch golfer. Unbelievable personality, so he's been a lot of fun. We have Rick Shield, another judge who has come over from the UK. He's a big YouTube PGA instructor and evaluator. So I will tell you, that, Rory, this show is going to be bigger and better. We have tour players. You'll see tour players on early episodes and in the finale. It'll be all about testing and showing consumers why different kind of drivers do different things. And I'm excited. I mean, Golf Channel, when they came back and said they wanted to do season two, I was elated. I think it's one of the, again, thinking about the consumer, guys, this is a chance for consumers to understand why drivers are so expensive. It's not like you just go pick a head out and put it on a staff.
Right.
There's a lot that goes into this. So Driver versus Driver 2 premieres Tuesday night after Ryder Cup. It's going to be fun. It's going to be action-packed, and I can't wait to see who the winner is.
Well, it'll be real interesting, especially I'm sure JR, as always, will have a lot to say.
and he's a little competitive.
You know him better than I do, Rory.
Yeah, sure do. He filled up our notepads and tape recorders for years when he was with the Chicago Blackhawks. Yeah. And, hey, Tim, can you give us some kind of a summary what the response has been this time around? Certain people, I'm sure, watched the first show, tried to get something from it, and have maybe tailored their entries a little different. Or, is there been more of a response? Has there?
Yeah. That's a great question. First and foremost, anytime you blaze a new trail, there's a lot of learning. So, when we did season one, we had no idea what to expect. We had a lot of napkin drawings. I'll tell you what, this time we had a lot of engineers and industrial designers that actually submitted their own CADs or at least, a model of some sort for the application. So the entries were fast and furious, but more importantly, the quality of the entries were fantastic. And there were some things, honestly, that you'll see on the show that, I don't think anybody in golf has thought of from some engineers out of different industries. And, we're working diligently with them to try to make it a driver that'll be in a tour bag on a Thursday afternoon. So that's the ultimate goal of the project. It's been a ton of fun. We had a lot of submissions, again, over a couple hundred submissions. We it's it's hard to go through submissions. There were so many good ideas, but we had to get it down to ones we actually felt could be transformed into a playable product. And, of course, with TV, there'll always be a little bit of humor. So it should be great.
You know, Tim, we've enjoyed really enjoyed the conversation and hearing from your perspective as Wilson Golf, just, you know, such a huge name and something that's meant a lot to golfers and certainly Chicago area golfers for so long. We talked about getting to this point in time where having products that really make sense for the average player and not always being just all about the tour players is important. We know that the USGA ultimately has limits on equipment, and as we talk about making the game more enjoyable, your thoughts from the manufacturing end of things, should there long-term be some differences, changes in even what the USGA sets out for equipment that continue to take us down this road of just making golf more fun for that player that's showing up at a public golf course and trying to enjoy themselves?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. At the PGA show, there was a lot of discussions, and I had a lot of conversations around this. And to me, you know, bifurcations of the rule seems like the something that really needs to be investigated. And I say that because, you know, I get the privilege of standing next to Brendan Steele or Kevin Streelman or Ricky Barnes or Padraig Harrington, and I get to watch them hit a driver, and I get to go to, you know, Blackberry or Fox Bend on a Saturday, and I get to watch, you know, the guys in my group or the guys in front of me, the guys behind me hit drivers, and it's just, there's no comparison. Right?
It's not the same game.
It is not the same game, and I think it's, you know, and again, I understand, and I think the one thing I do respect, and I don't think on the tour level with the records we can lose sight of, is that the, you know, the USGA and R&A, they want to protect the integrity of the game on a holistic basis, which I am all for, because, you know, at the tour level, you do want to have it, you know, you do want to have a game that's competitive and records kind of can, like a Jack record can stand the test of time. I think that's great. But for the average player, and especially, you know, you guys are around the game also, you know, we went through that Tiger kind of run where pretty much every golf course did modifications to add tee boxes, to take them back and try to get to 7,000 yards or 6,700 yards. The bottom line is most consumers, that game's not even playable to them. So to me, you know, whether they decide to roll back the ball, which, you know, seems to have some energy, they haven't made any formal ruling, but they're talking about it a lot now. And historically, when they talk about things, it usually means something's a brewing. So, but my point is, I think it would be very detrimental to roll back the consumer's ball.
You know, well, Tim. Tim, in closing, you mentioned USGA. Does Wilson Golf and the USGA kind of have a plan in place that will protect the integrity of your show here and hopefully get your product out a little quicker this year once you get a winner?
Absolutely. And that's a great point, Rory. And anytime you blaze a new trail, you know, there were some challenges. And one of the challenges we had on this last one was the fact that we had an unfavorable ruling on the back of that driver. And, you know, still to this day, and I still completely disagree with the ruling. I think, you know, if that driver would have been a Callaway or a TaylorMade driver, I don't think they would have gotten that ruling. But we got it. We lived with it. We took the high road. We made it right. This time around, we are already in communication with USGA. They have agreed on some confidentiality stuff that we needed to be able to do the show. So, yes, we are 100% confident that we had a very tough lesson. And when we come out with this driver, when it hits the market at Monday, when it hits the market, it will be on the conforming list, and that is the go-forward plan.
Okay, real good. Well, Tim Clark, General Manager, Wilson Golf, thanks so much for jumping here, and glad that you guys are supporting the Blackberry Amateur and a lot of other great golf programs in town. And, Tim, we'll look forward to seeing you at a golf course out there as soon as it warms up a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully soon. You guys have a great show, and keep up the good work. Keep sharing the great news about golf, and I think your show does a lot to help everybody understand what's going on behind the scenes. So I appreciate what you guys do.
Thanks, Tim.
We appreciate it. This segment was sponsored by the French Lick Resort. Get on down and play the Pete Dye Golf Course, the Donald Ross Golf Course. For more information, FrenchLick.com.
When you win national awards like Golf Magazine's Renovation of the Year, Golf Digest Best New Course Renovation, and Golf Range Magazine's Top 50 Ranges, you know that you've done something right. Mistwood Golf Club, highlighted by a 67-acre rock-walled lake and St. Andrews-style sodwall bunkers. Mistwood brings a feeling of Scotland to the Midwest. Mistwood's changes include added tour length, completely redesigned third hole with an island-feeling green, new state-of-the-art performance center featuring teaching tools that the tour players use, like TrackMan, Sam Putt Lab, FlightScope, and Quintech Ball Roll Analysis System. Completely custom fit and built golf clubs. We can match any manufacturer's head with any manufacturer's shaft. Mistwood has the distinct honor of the highest rating for Illinois golf courses by Golf Digest Best Places to Play. Some tee times are available, but they're filling fast, so don't delay. You can book online at mistwoodgc.com or call 815-254-3333. Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville. Significantly renovated, completely perfected.
All right, we're back. Golfers on Golf Radio, 1050. Rory Spears, Ed Stevenson, special guest host Chad Johansson from Blackberry Oaks. And just a reminder, the pros and the top amateurs are gone from Erin Hills. The 2017 U.S. Open is over, and 2018 is getting ready to start. They, just a couple of weeks, the overnight rooms, the cottages will all be open, and there's some great new things up at Erin Hills this year. First of all, you get up there in advance of your 18-hole day. You want to play a couple holes, you want to get loose, play the new Kettle Loop, 5 holes of golf at Erin Hills, perfect late in the day warm-up. Also, the Caddy Barn at night has been turned into a game room for overnight guests. Get up there, play ping pong.
Get your ping pong paddle out, Rory.
That's right. Get your ping pong paddle out and bang away on the ping pong ball and the table and all those other things that the caddies are doing while they're waiting for their loop. And also, there is a new special challenge up there, the Koepka Challenge, in honor of U.S. Open champion Brooks Koepka. So go down up, visit erinhills.com, check out the Koepka Challenge, and see if it's something that you are ready to try. Once again, the home of the 2017 U.S. Open, now wide open and ready for you. Visit erinhills.com.
Great. Well, Rory, this hour's been flying by, and you know what? Having a third with us didn't slow down our pace of play at all. We're still cruising in towards the 17th, 18th hole here, right on time. But obviously, great to have Chad Johansson here with us. We've certainly had a chance to talk about the Blackberry Amateur, and fun to talk about teaching golf and how we share the game a bit. But golfers have kind of an insatiable appetite for that. Everyone wants to get better and learn a little bit more. And Chad, part of your teaching program includes a guide for golf. Let's talk a little bit more about what the guide's all about.
Guide for Golf is an app that I've created. It took me 3 years to build it out, and you can go to the website. It's guideforgolf.com, and you can go to the iPhone or iOS platform and download the app as well. It's a $40 one-time fee for a year, and it gets you your golf handicap, all your stat tracking for all your rounds. I videoed over 250 PGA instructional videos on everything golf, so it's all formatted, it's all situated in different cool areas. And then we added a golf store. I just partnered with one of the largest online retailers, and that golf store will be live in about a week or two. So it's a great platform, and I'm getting rave reviews already.
And you've got a new, what is it, a VIP texting plan for information and getting signed up to get that round of golf in at Blackberry Oaks?
Absolutely. If you text free golf to 31996, you'll get into my VIP text message club at Blackberry Oaks, and you might you'll have a chance to win a free round of golf every day. It's pretty cool.
That's a wonderful thing. And you know what? I tell you what. You go out to the putting lab at Blackberry Oaks. If you're not sinking putts, go visit the putting lab at Blackberry Oaks. I did, and it was amazing. Just a little thing, getting that putter head a little more squared up, which came to light when I had you take a look at things in the putting lab at Blackberry Oaks.
Yep. It's been going great, the putting lab, you know. And one last thing I wanted to just talk about is kids, right? I mean, I came up with the hashtag kids rule, right, Rory?
Yeah.
So, you know, I started a junior league that I'm doing all summer long. I had 48 kids, so I sold that out. And now I have a bunch of summer camps. I just founded a new golf tour that I'm doing. Everything's on my website at www.chadjohansson.com. I also introduced a parent junior championship that I'm going to offer three times. So I can't wait to have a kid with his grandpa playing a tournament. It's going to be awesome.
That's what it's supposed to be about. And hey, you know, it's great to see the integration of technology in the app. Obviously, getting the kids literally teed up and ready to play is important. And Chad, what I appreciate is you're seeing that lots of ways to deliver the message. Not everyone is going to learn this game or be prepared to understand things in the same format. So I think finding that method of delivery, be it through the app or a different approach to kids or really through the four-step process, just finding that way to connect with people is fun. So congrats on making this game a little more enjoyable for everyone and getting that next generation going.
Absolutely. Grow the game.
Hey, Chad, so are there any open tee times at Blackberry Oaks this afternoon?
Oh, yeah, there's always open tee times. I'll fit you in there wherever I can, Rory.
Well, it'd be great. If you're looking to get out and hit the golf ball this afternoon, there's always a lot of places to go. You can get out to Blackberry Oaks. You can get out to the different courses of DuPage Golf and visit DuPageGolf.com. Congratulations to add to Greg Martin, everybody involved with the project at the Preserve at Oak Meadows, again, being put sixth on the Golf Digest list as best public courses in state. And if you missed us at the top of the show, broke a little news, Patrick Flavin, the defending Illinois Open champion, announcing that he officially will be back in the field to defend his title at the Glen Club and Ravinia Green, the second course this year for the Illinois Open.
Yeah, you know, Rory, I saw that announcement for Ravinia Green, and Briarwood was a great, I think, venue as the second course last year. I grew up working at Briarwood.
There.
I know the course well. Ravinia Green was not a stranger to me either. Really, you know, when you head north on 294, you're going to head east and find your way to Briarwood. You're going to head west and find your way to Ravinia Green. It was Ravinia Green sits at this intersection that at one time included on the northwest corner of that intersection was 18 holes of Ravinia Green. Northeast is really what is now Deerfield Golf Club, and what used to be there was Thorngate, the Thorngate
now,
course
Ivanhoe.
That went away and got rebuilt as Ivanhoe up further north. So. Ravinia Green, I think Max is out in that just under 6,800 yards. It's got really a little different character to it, so it should be interesting and nice group of qualifying courses. Illinois PGA has had those listed. Deerfield Golf Club is one of them, which actually some of the holes on the north of the nines at Deerfield resemble a little bit of the design style at Ravinia Green, so not a bad one to play in there. Of course, I'm happy to see people come out to the qualifier that's at Maple Meadows. One of our courses for DuPage Golf is proud to be an Illinois Open qualifying site. But I know that the whole list is available at the Illinois PGA's website. So throw your hat in the ring this year for the Illinois Open.
Okay. Well, I hope both of you guys will sign up. And, Chad, you've got a 69 in your bag or so, or a 68 to get out there with all those new Wilson clubs. And we want to thank Tim Clark for jumping in with us, the GM of Wilson Golf. We got to thank Mike for spinning the dials and making us sound good here on the air. And, Chad, we appreciate you coming in and being our guest host today, a week two of Golfers on Golf Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, Rory. You know, I love talking golf. And all the folks listening, if you haven't been out to Blackberry, come on out. You're going to love it. It's a great golf course, and I guarantee you'll have a great experience.
We'll see you out there. Have a great week.
All right, it's warming up, everybody. Go play, and thanks for joining us. I'm Rory Spears, Fred Stevenson, and Chad Johansson. Go hit them. It's going left, yeah.